This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, a Chicago woman helps the terminally ill navigate the territory between life and death. First, Seventy years ago today, George and Ira Gershwin's opera Porgy and Bess made its Broadway debut. Its music and lyrics about black life in Charleston, South Carolina, have turned the work into an American classic. NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates has this appreciation.
It was September 1935. For months, Bostonians had been hearing about a new musical work that was coming to town. It was rumored to be completely different, operatic in format and length, with an almost all-black cast. James Fuld was a 19-year-old Harvard sophomore who'd managed to score a coveted ticket to the show's pre-Broadway tryout at the Colonial Theater. Now 89, he still remembers every detail.
I was in the first row, in the uppermost portion of the theater, and I have my original program and ticket. And as I look at the review, it says it's the event of the season, and this will be a landmark in American music.
That was more than hype. It was prophetic. Porgy and Bess was an opera based on DuBose Hayward's successful novel, Porgy. It told the story of a poor, crippled man and beautiful Bess, who runs away from the city's fast life to find sanctuary with Porgy and the residents of mythical Catfish Row. The opera mirrored true elements of black Charleston life, like the produce hawkers who walked the neighborhoods advertising their wares. Theater historian Robert Kimball says initially critics and theater patrons alike were puzzled by the work.
It wasn't a musical work per se. It wasn't a dramatic work per se. It elicited coverage from the newspapers from both the dramatic critics and the music critics. It seemed to baffle people. I think it baffled the music critics a bit more. They were expecting something perhaps more academic. But the work has always been sort of outside category.
In Porgy and Bess, Gershwin borrowed minor chords from his synagogue songbook, call and response from black churches he'd visited, and lashes of jazz. His new music hung in the ear like this cynical song from the show's sly troublemaker, Sportin' Life.
It ain't necessarily so.
It ain't necessarily so.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible,
the opera did well in out-of-town previews, but when it reached New York in October, the reviews were uneven and it closed after a few months. Robert Kimball.
It was commercially a failure as a theater piece on Broadway, but how many operas are performed 124 times during their first year?
Despite that rocky start, Porgy and Bess went on to become one of the most performed works in theater history. Generations have cherished its music, like Porgy's profession of love to Bess. Robert Kimball says very few first operas, even by famous composers, are memorable. He places the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess alongside Beethoven's Fidelio and Richard Wagner's Der Meisterspinner as the exceptions. And James Fuld believes the opera has managed to retain popular and critical interest since his student days for one solid reason.
The great composers occasionally wrote music that had dull sections. There's nothing dull in Porgy and Bess.
And because of that, this opera still has plenty of fans.
Oh, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got no car, I got no mule, I got no misery.
Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News, Los Angeles.
You can see Porgy and Bess through the years at our website, npr.org. I'm Alex Chadwick. More just ahead on Day to Day.